Well, I want to talk about these three things, and I want to kind of bring it all together and say that this morning we want to talk about His purpose. His purpose. And then we want to talk about His power and His peace. Those are the three elements that we're going to see today in the reading of the gospel and of the lesson in Hebrews. As you know, the story is that the disciples, James and John, had argued among themselves earlier in Mark chapter 9, who was the greatest among them. And of course, in Matthew, their mother suggested that they were, of course. And they finally got around to asking Jesus if they could sit with him at his right hand when he came into his power, into the glory that they anticipated, this great overthrow of the kingdom, of the present kingdom. You have to think in terms of here and now. They were here and now, guys. They thought Jesus was going to rule and reign in their lifetime. And certainly he does, but they thought he was going to physically take over. So they wanted to sit at his right hand. And Jesus teaches this lesson, and which is the lesson of Christianity. And that is that if we want to be significant in the kingdom, we have to learn to serve. We have to learn to be servants of one another. If you want to be great, you want to be a great human being, you want to be the greatest among us, you must be the most willing to serve. Amen. Yeah. It's an oxymoron, really. It's hard to understand, because generally Jesus pointed out that the Gentiles in their time, the governors and the rulers, they lorded over them. That means that they exercised their authority, and they wanted you to know who they were because of their office. And so many times in our environment, in our political environment, we get lorded over by those above us, especially at work. Sometimes we'll have a boss who'll lord over you. But honestly, and then you'll become resentful of that person. And you'll say, that's not fair. That's unjust. That person shouldn't be in that place. Because those who really want to serve and want to be great must be servants of all. The Bible uses many examples. One of them is marriage. And in Ephesians, the Bible clearly talks about if men want to have a great relationship with their wives, they have to give themselves up as Christ gave himself up for the church, completely emptying themselves of their own desires and wills and passions, and turning it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and become a servant. But in that servanthood, one day you'll be promoted. And that's how it is in life. When we give ourselves up and we give ourselves in service to God. Now, Jesus' purpose, sometimes we get confused. There's so much in the gospel of why was Jesus here? Why did he come? Well, he came for really two reasons. You can distill it all down to just two things. One is to teach us to be servants. Because you have to remember that he gave up glory. He left his Father's right hand and came to this earth to be one of us. Crazy as it may seem, he became the God-man. Fully God, fully man. And he gave up the glories of heaven to come and dwell among us. Now, that's one reason, to teach us to be servants. The other is, as we see in the last statement of this gospel reading, is that he came to be a ransom for many. He came to ransom us back, to speak of forgiveness, so that we are forgiven. That's his purpose. Those two things. That's really what the gospel's all about. Teach us how to live, and to remind us and to demonstrate that we are forgiven once and for all. Okay? Two simple things. yet so hard for us to get our arms all the way around, isn't it? It's very difficult to get that because we have ideas, we have all these other things coming at us. Well, in Hebrews, we can see exactly that. Because in Hebrews, it says the Word of God is living and active. Now, when we think of how living it is, it's been alive for almost 2,000 years. And these same words that speak to us today have spoken to people for generations, for 2,000 years. And the Bible says that it's powerful. It's living, it's active. Jesus, in the sense of living, reminds us in the parable of the sower that as the seed gets planted into our hearts, sometimes it falls on different types of soil. You know, it falls along the road. It spills out of the sower's basket, falls on the road. Some of it falls into thorny ground. Some of it falls into hard rocks. But some of it falls into good soil. But everywhere the seed goes, it grows because it's alive. It's living. The Word of God is living. It's alive. And it's active. What makes the Word of God active? We see in our lives, and we see in many people's lives, changes of attitudes, changes of hearts. The Word of God is active in our life. We've seen people transformed miraculously. I know all of us have. We've encountered different people of different cultures and different walks of life. We're dramatically changed. Most of us in here have our own story to tell of how God has touched us. The active aspect of God. It's what the Word does. And then the Bible says that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Interestingly, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, uses this analogy of the Roman sword, the double-edged sword. And it was considered at the time the most powerful weapon on earth. The Romans, of course, it was a shorter sword, but it had edges on both sides, and they would use their shields to fight off, and they could cut both ways. And so people knew the power of this sword. And so there's an allusion here to this incredibly powerful instrument, able to dice and dissect our thoughts and our hearts. That's able to discern our attitudes, our good attitudes and our bad attitudes, our rebellious spirits, our lustful hearts, our greed, our hypocrisy, our hatred, and our unforgiving spirits. It's able to discern and judge the attitudes of the heart. And those are attitudes that creep into our hearts. Uh-oh, time's up already? It causes us to face up to who we really are. When we look in the mirror and we look and begin to discern and we look in God's Word, what we see oftentimes are people who are short, who have fallen short of the glory of God, who aren't full of love, who aren't full of peace, who aren't full of joy. These things creep into our hearts, but the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Won't you go down during the week when you're just thinking about the Lord or you're praying or just different times, something will touch your heart or touch your mind, and it'll be, you need to fix that. Well, that's the living Word of God. That's the seed that's growing in your heart. It's God speaking to us, wanting to transform us, to renew our minds, to cause us to remember exactly who we are. He wired us. He built us. He programmed us. He created us. Don't you think He knows how to fix us and the best paths for our lives? Sure He does. And so the writer of Hebrews says that we've got to stop the pretending. That's what this is all about. Get real, because nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him who we must give an account. That sounds pretty rough, honestly. Father David this morning read, "Unto you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid." Folks, He's here. He knows. That's why we come to church. We come in, we stand here, the priest gets up there and says those words, the opening collect, and says, "Everything, you know everything." Right? He knows our hearts. He knows even why you're here. Maybe you're here just because you want to escape the fires of hell. But He knows. He knows your attitudes today. He knows who you're mad at. He knows who you don't like. He knows who you're holding unforgiveness against. He knows all secrets. This is where that comes from. This is where that opening collect comes from, that opening prayer. But as one of my professors used to always say, before I say that, we kind of stand in judgment when we open our hearts and open our lives to that, don't we? We stand in a sense judged, because we know our hearts aren't pure. But whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, my college professor used to always say, you got to ask what it's there for. So here's the good news of the gospel. His purpose, His power, His peace. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith. Now, before we move on, last week I mentioned this, but in Isaiah 61, verse 6, the Bible says that you will be called priests. One day you will be called priest. Who was He speaking to? He was speaking to the Israelites. He was speaking to us. One day you'll be called priests. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe, it's verse 9, Peter tells us that you are a royal priesthood. Not just priests, royal priests. Priests in purple. Priests to be honored. Priests of the Most High God. And our priest, our high priest, is Jesus Christ. And then the writer says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. He knows. Just as we are, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So clearly, Jesus, you say, well, He hasn't been tempted like I have. Oh, yes, He has. Proverbs says there's nothing new under the sun. There are no new thoughts. There are no new attitudes. Same attitudes, the same things that we have that go on in our lives, the same emotional responses that we have to outside interference, the things that we battle every day, the things we can't seem to overcome, those sins that hold us back, it's all the same. It's been that way. It all begins with sin. But Jesus was tempted in every way, just like we were. just like we are. Yet, he didn't sin. Because he didn't, he says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and help in a time of need. It's the peace that passes all understanding. When we recognize that Jesus, the man Jesus, was tempted in every way like we are, yet he didn't sin, we're able to connect and recognize that we can come before God's throne, the throne of God, and ask for forgiveness. And actually understand and know that we are forgiven. Let me just show you one more passage. Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He made us alive by His Spirit, by transforming our spirits and putting the Holy Spirit in us, right? He made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. That's a passive and active word. It's passive. He forgave us all of our sins in the past, in the present, and in the future. The Word of God is living and active. It's a reminder to us that there's a therefore, that we may see ourselves as fallen short of the glory of God, but He's forgiven all our sins. And having canceled the written code with all its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made them a public spectacle, triumphing over them by the cross. The power of the cross. He made sin a public display. He took the powers and authorities that stand against us and disarmed them. He did. And if we can get that in our hearts and minds this week, it will transform us in like no other way. We will understand that, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. We're free. God set us free, and He gives us His peace. Because He has set us free, we're at peace with God. We don't have to worry that He's condemning us. We don't. Listen, this is what He's doing. When we feel our hearts, we feel inadequate, you feel like God's mad at me, you feel like you've fallen short, when that happens, this is what you need to know. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you can do better than that. I want to point this out to you. I'm tapping on you. I'm saying that's something you got to work on. You're forgiven. Hello, I forgave you all your sins. I disarmed the powers that stand against you. I disarmed the authorities. Now all you have to do is be servants of the Most High God. It's what we're called to. And that's what God is asking us to do today. Remember His purpose. He came to forgive our sins. That's what He came to do. He came to teach us to be servants. There's a powerful gospel that's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, knows who we are. But at the end of the day, He gives us His peace. He gives us a stillness and a quietness in our hearts. This passage is actually called Sabbath rest in Hebrews. It's called the rest. Now, isn't it interesting that if His Word is sharp and active and living and exposes our weaknesses, that should give us rest? It does, because there's a therefore. because He has done it for us. He set us free from the powers and authorities who stand against us, from the evil thoughts. So when this week, when you are feeling down and discouraged, disappointed about the way things are going, remember the one who's disarmed the powers. Remember Him. Remember Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.